Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Oh, brother. Okay. Welcome on board. Joe, the Renaissance man with eclectic tastes. He's a man for the ages.
Thank you. I agree with you wholeheartedly.
He has no idea what all that means, but he thinks it sounds very complimentary. So
yes, well, it sounded complimentary.
A Renaissance man. That means he's old and in the way. All right. Welcome on board, everybody.
That means he's very eclectic and diverse in his capabilities.
It's funny, I was watching a TV show the other day with captioning so I can actually hear what's going on. And one of the announcers scoffed at somebody, and the captioning said, "Scoff slash raspberries." It's like, I think those are raspberries, right?
Yeah.
Okay, right.
That's a raspberry.
Okay, thank you. Between this and yesterday's hysterics, we're going to have a good highlight reel for this this week, that's for sure. All right, well, welcome on board, everybody. That will conclude today's frivolity.
Well, not really. I have some ridiculousness when you're done.
Oh, okay, Democrats doing something ridiculous.
No, well, not just Democrats.
Okay, so people with their brains removed in Washington or Harrisburg doing something ridiculous, so we'll take it. All right, so welcome on board WKOK's live telephone talk show On the Mark. Joe is here. He portrays a adamant ultra-right conservative and wears a MAGA hat and does not listen to factual information.
I do not have a MAGA hat.
Oh.
But
okay.
I agree with the concept.
Make America great. Well, what's wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with that. I think it
depends on who you ask. Many liberals feel there's something terribly wrong with it.
Well, not making America great, but the way that you're doing it is the dilemma. All right, so that's that's Joe. I'm Mark Lawrence. I portray a liberal on the radio. Deep down, I'm just a bad rhino, but I always portray liberals in a bad light here, so welcome on board.
Believe me, you're not even a rhino.
Oh, okay, yeah.
You're a dino.
Not even a Dem.
A Democrat in name only.
I gotcha. I figured that's what it meant. All right, our telephone number, 570-743-9565. That's 570-743-WDKOK. You can email us at onthemark@WDKOK.com, and you can text us at 70236. Include the keyword OTM. Let's see, we can talk about, we will talk with Thane Rosenbaum, CBS's legal expert. He's a conservative lawyer out of New York City who will
No, he's a balanced lawyer. He's not conservative. He has balanced opinions.
Yeah,
opinion that he's conservative. Oh. It's mine that he is balanced.
All right. Thane Rosenbaum says he's a conservative lawyer, but Joe says he's balanced. Okay, so that's right. Fine. It's hard to argue with that kind of nuance. And we'll talk about Mifepristone, but I think we can also ask about some of the other cases that are pending against Fox News and our Pittsburgh mail carrier who quit because they wouldn't accommodate his Sunday activities. He didn't want a federal firing on his record, so he bugged out before he got terminated, so we can talk about that.
You're a wildlife guy, aren't you? I mean, you're a nature lover. You out believe in the great outdoors and all that stuff, right?
Hunt and kayak once a year.
What do you think the primary function today, as we sit here today, what the primary function of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is?
The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service.
Yes. What do you think their main what their focus is today?
Probably self-perpetuation, I would assume, something like that.
No. It's diversity, equity, and inclusion.
Oh, within the staffing and so on.
That's their primary function.
Well, that's a government function. That's all elements of government, not just them.
I thought it should be fish and wildlife should be their primary function. Hopefully they achieve diversion and equity and inclusion along the way, but I don't think it should be their primary function.
Okay, is that what they're...
Not their reason for being.
Is that their new mission statement says?
Yes.
Our primary function has nothing to do with wildlife. It has everything to do with people.
Oh, it says quite a bit. Actually, if you read their website, it's very enlightening. 2019. It says here, we must recruit, welcome, and empower bright, driven professionals from diverse backgrounds who can help us find effective solutions and connect with a rapidly changing America. So the employees they have are not capable of doing that. And all these years, they've deliberately sought out people who were not welcoming, bright, driven professionals. What did they recruit? Dolts? Morons?
A bunch
and
of Republicans.
Idiots?
A bunch of Republicans, I guess.
I love this stuff. Oh, we have to have diversity, inclusion, and equity. But what have you been striving for? What has been your goal? How have you failed to achieve this, if it was such a burning ambition for all these years, and it's been under Democratic control for quite a while now.
Now, what has you fired up? Where is this coming from? Start at the beginning.
It's coming from the news.
Okay. So
I just happened to read
it. You read a Fox News that the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has a new preamble. I'm assuming this is revised.
Well, I believe it has to be, because I don't think it was their goal 20 years ago. Do you?
Okay.
No, I just think it's interesting that they're, and then they list a whole series of ways we're working toward diversity, equity, inclusion, and accessibility. Becoming our authentic selves is one of the topics. Now, what authentic self is a fish or wildlife?
Well, again, that's all about people. I'm not sure what becoming your authentic self has
creating
to do
space
with.
For, creating space for a new generation of hunters. What kind of space do we have to create for you hunters?
Lots of days off and many tree stands already placed in high deer areas. I can answer that one. That's what we hunters need. Oh, wait, I guess it wouldn't be the new generation.
Well,
no, Mark.
I just think it's interesting that their focus has shifted from what they are intending to do. That's the problem with society today. Instead of just welcoming people, looking at them and saying, okay, you're qualified, mm-hmm. You know, it makes me feel that what they've done in the past is they've deliberately ignored people who could fit these
categories. I don't even
have
a comeback for this, Joe. This is just too ridiculous.
Obviously, it's not ridiculous. It's concerning.
Right. Yeah, to you.
To any
you
rational...
You found one paragraph in their mission statement.
To any rational person, it's concerning.
If you found one paragraph that you disagree with, you could probably find one paragraph in every agency and organization in the U.S.
Mark, this isn't a paragraph. This is the headline on their website.
Gotcha. Okay, so if I go to usfishandwildlifeservice.gov, the first thing it says, we're looking for new people.
It says diversity, equity, inclusion, and accessibility. That's their goal. It has nothing to do with fishing
or
wildlife.
Our old staffers were a bunch of bigoted old farts.
That's the implication. Bothers me. That's the implication.
Republicans need that.
If government wasn't hiring fairly and they weren't having, you know, an eye toward diversity, and to the extent that that's a good thing, why is it necessary in the Fish and Wildlife Service? What compelling interest is there in making sure that an agency charged with fish and wildlife preservation and conservation, I guess, has a diversity or an
you want them to have a diverse workforce, don't you? You don't want them to hire just
Republicans. Well, how is the benefit? No, I'm just saying they should hire the best qualified candidate for every job.
No matter what.
If they aren't doing that, you know, it's not. Why would you put an ass group behind somebody?
So if they're
somebody?
A bigoted old fart, they should hire them anyway.
Are they capable?
Yes, they'd be very capable, but they're a bigoted old fart. They'd be terrible to work with, and they'll raise their middle finger at every bad colleague they see. Is that who you want?
Well, why would you discount them if they are qualified to do the job? Don't they have a right to be?
It'd be a little awkward to work with them.
Why?
Because of that middle finger thing all the time.
But if you're
into qualified,
diversion,
okay,
no, if you're into diversion, you should welcome this old fart as you describe him.
Okay. Oh, that's true, yeah, because he's an example of a
you're
phylum
saying,
of species.
Hey, we're delighted to have you here. You may be an old fart, as I've characterized you, but you are here in the workforce, and you are capable.
If anybody else in the entire globular planet appreciates the same disdain for the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service mission statement preamble, please call now, 570-743-9565. One of our listeners sends us a note about veterans. Joe, upper right-hand corner.
All right. Of the 16.3 million Americans who were estimated to have served in World War II, more than 400,000 were killed in action. Today, only 167,284 American veterans who returned home are still alive.
Including my father.
According to the National World War II Museum, there are still 9,675 World War II veterans living in Pennsylvania, the third most of all states. World War II veterans comprise 1.5% of the state's total veteran population. population of 641,525. Nationwide, World War II vets account for 1% of the total veteran population. Not certain where this is going, other than statistics.
I see it at the bottom.
Oh, all right. Whether they volunteered or were drafted into service, we should thank these brave men and women for their service. Some of them suffered in prisoner of war camps run by the enemy. All were parted from family and friends, and many suffered in difficult conditions. Thank a veteran. Well, that's true.
Amen. Yeah, my father says he didn't want to go, but Uncle Sam required him to do so.
Greetings. Your friends and neighbors have selected you.
Right, exactly. So, we got great recordings and stories from Pop. Yes, thank all veterans. That is good. And World War II veterans, 9,000 some, 9,700 in Pennsylvania. So, that number goes down all the time. All right, and one in the middle there. That's new.
Norm says maybe he doesn't want to answer questions on how he won.
Have to read the subject line.
Oh, the subject is why won't Michael Stender debate? Maybe he doesn't want to answer questions on how he won or doesn't know the answers to policy questions because he doesn't have someone from Harrisburg to feed him the answers.
Yeah, we were talking about in the newsroom. He did not debate someplace, I guess.
Right, last night. I think it was. Okay. The other two candidates debated.
So he declined an invitation
to
debate?
Yes, he did.
Okay.
But that's not unheard of around here. Quite a few people decline invitations to debate.
Usually there's stodgy old incumbents who don't want to be challenged. That wouldn't apply to Michael Stender. Well, he said he would debate Trevor Finn here, so we'll see if we can get them both in here. We'll give that a shot. Eric from Port Treverton, PA. Good morning, sir. You're on the mark.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call. This is what I was going to talk about, but Joe, did you actually go on the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service's website?
No,
Fox, looking at says working with others to conserve, protect, and enhance fish, wildlife, plants, and their habitats for the continuing benefit of the American people.
It's www.fws.gov. That's the website.
Yeah, and I'm on it, and I'm looking at the first thing. I have some beautiful pictures of ducks, and it says, working with others to conserve, protect, and enhance fish, wildlife, plants, and their habitats to the continuing benefit of the American people.
Well, then you're not looking at the right page. I've shown it to Mark. It's right here. It says diversity, equity, inclusion, and accessibility.
All right.
That's
so
mine says.
What is it, Joe?
www.fws.gov. Yep. Now, maybe you want to try to plug it in again because I don't know where you're at, but I'm looking at. But that's not the reason I called, but I mean, that's saying, maybe you won't check your stuff because I can look at my computer what I'm looking at here.
U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, working with others to conserve, protect, and enhance fish, wildlife, plants, and their habitats, and keeping Republicans out of our organization. Oh, no, I just...
and making sure the ducks and the wildlife are diverse.
Not only do I not see the paragraph you have, but I don't see... is it all devoted to wildlife? I don't see the part you're talking about.
You do see this story that's on my computer here, do you not? U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service.
That's not the front page. That's the hiring page. Come on, Joe.
Well, that's what they're talking about, isn't it?
You're misrepresenting what you're talking about. That's not their mission statement.
Did you check?
I didn't say it was their mission statement.
Before you throw the stuff out there?
I didn't say it was their mission.
Look at my computer. I'm telling you what I'm reading.
I didn't say. I didn't say it was their mission statement. I said this is what they're focused on.
You said something about missions. Anyway,
Mark said mission statement.
People check themselves, and I think you have a red herring there. Question I have this morning, you gentlemen. Have you
well, that would be a fish, wouldn't it? That would be a fish.
Hello?
Talking Fish and Wildlife. Go ahead.
That's what I'm saying. Have you received a PPNL bill lately?
I get one every month from them.
Yeah, every month.
I haven't received one since December.
You haven't received a power bill since
December? I have not received a PPNL bill since December.
That's weird.
I have called PPNL 3 times.
One of our other listeners sent us a complaint about this, so we've asked that Tracy Witter to contact us again, and she says she will in the weeks ahead, but not yet.
So they're telling me that I know that I now owe them in the neighborhood of $1,300 for my PPNL services.
Okay? I'm surprised
I called PPNL. I've escalated up 3 times up to upper level management, and they're saying they're hoping to get this figured out. Okay, and they're not sure if when I get a bill, I'm going to receive 1 bill, 5 bills, 3 bills. They're not sure. Now they're assuring me that there won't be any late charges. They're assuring me that there won't be any adverse effect upon my credit rating for not paying my bill for 5 months. So well, I got all these assurances.
If they can't figure out how to bill you correctly, how can they assure you that you won't be penalized for their failure?
That is my exact thing. I said to the lady, and this is like a second-level management person I've spoken to, I said, how can I be assured? You guys don't even know. I said, when am I getting my bill? We're not sure. How many bills am I going to get? Well, we're not sure. I said, ma'am, doesn't it concern you in 2023 and you're one of the heads of the billing department, you don't know how your billing's occurring?
Well, it's not customer service.
As a stockholder in PP&L, I said, I'm concerned that how much money is not being generated. So if my bill is over is about $1,300, and that's not going to be correct because I shop energy, and that's part of my point today. Everyone, check the back of your bill, see how much you're paying for energy, and I was able to get mine down to less than 12 cents, and going rate's now 14 plus. Check shop and, get down. So they're quoting me what they think is going to be based upon their rates. They can't even tell me what I owe based upon on what I can do the math, okay? So I know, looking forward, what I have to put aside. My concern, as I call in trying to represent the average man or the person living paycheck to paycheck, do they really believe that the average person is keeping that $100 or $150 aside every month and they're going to actually have $1,000 to lay out for this bill immediately? Or are they suddenly going to be, because they've used it to buy food or something else?
Well, I think their argument would be, and it's not a bad one, that you knew you would eventually have to pay for this electric, so you should have been prepared to pay for it.
Exactly. But again, you were once a young person with kids and other situations where, all of a sudden they need shoes or something.
Right.
You dip into that. I mean, and my concern is if people are going to slap it on a credit card, and then have to pay, how many times on it.
No,
because PP&L isn't doing their job. Bottom line is, they're not doing their job. They've had, this first broke in January because people were getting exorbitant bills. Right.
Right. We've been trying to get.
We've
been trying to get Tracy Witter from PPL to get on the show.
It's Eric.
Eric. I'm sorry. Yeah, Eric. We've been trying to get, and so she's okay. Will come on, but it probably won't be for a while.
Well, and again, I've been, forcing my way through management, and they just keep telling me the same thing. We're sorry, but we're not sure. We're sorry, but we're not sure. I mean, from a perspective of a stockholder, I'm concerned how many millions of dollars. So if I'm one person at 1,500, you multiply that by 1,000 of the customers, there's millions of dollars that PP&L is missing out on revenue. They have to pay their out to their energy producers who are providing energy to, because PP&L doesn't provide energy.
May I ask you a question, Eric? May I ask you a question?
Sure.
If you are haven't gotten your bill since December, is it related, do you think, to your name, your last name? Is it related to the area?
No,
in which
not
you,
at all. My
well,
dad,
let me finish
my, dad,
my let me finish my question. Let me finish my question, would you?
Sure.
Is it related
I'm
to the is it related to the area where you live? Are other people in your neighborhood having a similar problem? Is it related to any factor that you can determine? I mean, can they give you any kind of answer?
I can tell you, because that's what I was trying to answer your question before you answered it, and I apologize. That is very impolite of me.
Moving on.
No, my dad, who lives next door, same last name, very close, same address, also changed energy provider same time I did, has been getting his bills. So I cannot find any factor, and his is a little more expensive than mine, actually, but a bigger home. But no, I don't know. And since they can't figure it out, I don't think they know either. But I'm just going to keep an eye on this because I think, the average person who's not getting a bill, and, Joe, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. In a true, normal, and level, balanced world, yes, we would have our $175 pay our energy bill every month and put that aside and make sure we keep that. Maybe write the checks out ahead so we deduct it out of our checking account and so on and so forth. But and I know, having been young people with kids and with bills and living paycheck to paycheck, that ain't going to happen.
All right,
and,
I got you.
And this, I'm going to be concerned going forward that a lot of people are going to be negatively impacted. And PP&L still can't tell me what the problem is.
Well, they're working
money.
On it.
I have the money put aside. I'm going to do that. But again, this can negatively impact other people. And again, it's the downward spiral we talked about. People getting behind on their bills, not being able to pay, and then going to debt, having to put on credit card, paying high interest charges.
Are they sending you cancellation notices telling you your power is going to be turned off?
No.
Not yet. Not yet. But again, I'm due diligent. I look online. I keep anticipating this being ahead and so forth. And all it says is amount due zero. Well, can I pay? I've even tried to pay it. No, you can't do that. Because that would screw up the system, which obviously is already screwed up.
Yeah, I would say the system is.
All right, we got you, Eric. Thank you.
I'm just in the public service. Those people out there the same way. But, hello, PP&L. Get your act together. I mean, it's been quarter of a year.
All right, we got you. All right, thank you, sir. We'll get PPL on this. Thank you, sir.
Move on.
Thank you.
Much appreciated. All right, On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. They are a family-owned dealership since 1915. We've been sifting through the Kia catalog, so we'll keep looking at one of those today. The Kia Rio. How about that? It's a subcompact, Joe. You would fit in it nicely. It's ultra-small. You can't pay more than $18,000 for it. 1.6-liter engine, 33 miles per gallon overall. That's average. That means, Joe, you're going to get 40 miles to the gallon going down the highway. And yes, it has a top speed. Are you ready? 95 miles an hour.
All right.
You'll still be able to speed at ridiculously high speeds in an unsafe manner. And hopefully, local radar will never catch you. So you should be in good shape.
Well, there is no local radar in Pennsylvania.
In New York State. Kia Rio, loved by Consumer Reports, another car buyer, economic vehicle, economical to buy, economical to own, and quite reliable, says some of the magazines that we look up. So check it out, Kia Rio at the Sunbury Motor Company. They got brand new Kias, Hyundais, and Fords at the Sunbury Motor Company. They would just love to do business with you. Look them up on North 4th Street Plaza area or on Routes 11 and 15 Hummel's Wharf at Runyon Road, the Kia dealership over there. Alphonse, Jason, Chris, Jeff, Ernie, Austin, and Tony would love to help you out.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. While Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
One of our listeners on the topic of PPL says, I ask PPL customers to go to budget billing. It changes you month by month based on your last year's bill.
Yeah, the gas company does that, too. They estimate what you're going to use. They divide it by 12 and bill you that, and then at the final month, they give you the difference.
Barbara, what do you know about PPL? Barbara.
Well, all I know is that I'm on the budget. We're on the budget here. And when I didn't get a bill, I continued to pay it because that was part of what we paid out of that billing cycle. So I knew that I used electric, so I paid the electric. I don't understand how stupid people can be. If you know you use something, why would you not pay for it when you know that, okay, it would come out of this week's check anyway? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do know what you're saying, but how do you pay it if you don't get an envelope and
You call the 800 number. That's how I pay my bill anyway, over the phone.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So they have that information. I mean, they have you down as a month-to-month customer getting a certain level billing, and that's already in there all the time. It doesn't change?
Exactly, until August when I've used either less or more.
Okay, and then they send you a bill for the difference.
Whatever it is, if it's more, you pay more. And honestly, the last bill I had gotten last year was in November. So it was due, it was in December, so it was due the 11th of January. And if you look at your bill, right below where it says due date, they have a whole thing, but then they have a graph that tells you what you used from January to December.
Mm-hmm. So compared to last year too.
Charges are and everything. So I don't understand why you wouldn't pay that.
Well, let me ask you this question. If their billing is all messed up, they aren't actually sending you a physical bill telling you you owe, right? You're just going ahead and paying it.
Yes.
So you haven't gotten a bill either.
I've gotten a bill in March, and it was due on the 10th, so we paid it. And what they did before was they had changed our budget by $1. So I paid the original budget amount anyway. But then it tells me that next month, when I get my next bill, which should be very soon, my budget has been changed to less than $50, which quite honestly, I don't know how they figured it out. It has to be wrong. And I intend to pay the regular amount that I was paying.
Well, very interesting.
Because I have it figured out. And okay, we had a mild winter and we used gas heat.
Okay, fair enough. Hey, thank you, Barbara. Appreciate your call.
You're welcome.
Take care.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much for the call. Great to hear from you. You should call more often. We need more women.
Right.
Especially smart women like that.
Okay, we're going to be back after the news, right?
We've had hundreds of emails and texts, people saying that Joe's National Wildlife Service mission statement doesn't say that at all. In fact, you have to search for days to find what he said.
But it's right there.
This is WKOK Sunbury.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings. Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the Mark, Lynn Hull's our fabulous producer, and she has followed up on the offer from CBS News to talk to Thane Rosenbaum, a novelist, essayist, law professor, and author of several books, and a legal correspondent with CBS News. He hosts his own talk show at the 92nd Street Y. Is that still true, Thane?
Everything's true about that.
Fantastic. Right. Can we find that online if we wish to follow you in that manner?
Sure, ThaneRosenbaum.com.
Okay, right. So just do what a lot of folks have done, and that's continue to follow your good explanations and analysis. And
he's buttering you up, Thane.
Yeah.
I'd watch
really,
it.
He really is. I can only go down from here.
Thane, what the heck is wrong with you? Okay, no, just kidding.
Exactly.
All right, well, let's start out with Mifepristone. Why the big delay? Some folks say that there's a lack of unanimity on the court. Explain why we have to wait till tomorrow.
Well, it's not clear exactly what. Remember, all that's happening here is that the court is deciding whether they will continue the stay of the judge from the Texas federal court, who essentially overruled, disqualified the approval of the FDA of this drug. And so that case is being appealed in the Fifth Circuit. And we'll probably get to the Supreme Court. So in a situation where a judge says, I am saying that this drug should no longer be available because the FDA did not go about its proper protocols in determining the safety of this drug, ordinarily what would happen is that even while the case is being appealed, the drug would be unavailable, even in states that allowed abortion. So immediately, the government, the Justice Department, and others brought emergency appeals to say, we are appealing this decision and we are asking you to issue a stay so that the drug will be available while this case continues to proceed. So that's all the Supreme Court's not really, right now, they're not deciding on whether or not the judge was incorrect. And whether a judge even has the right to do that, right? Because remember, that's what this is really about. This is not about the constitutionality of abortion. The courts already said last year that abortion is not a guaranteed right under the Constitution. This has nothing to do with that. This has to really have to do with something else, which is, can a federal judge in the separation of powers tell a federal agency that has their own experts, right, at FDA, they've got doctors and PhDs, right, to say, you don't know what you're talking about. I am a judge, and I'm telling you that this drug should not be on the market, and I'm second-guessing you and overruling you. I am substituting my judgment for yours. That's what this case is about. It's really not really about abortion, right? It's really about the rights of a judge to overrule the expertise of a federal agency. So, for instance, this could be something with the EPA, right? Or other federal, OSHA, right? Other agencies where the judgment of experts is being overruled by a federal judge. So all this is about is the Supreme Court deciding whether to at least make the drug available while the case is on appeal.
I was just going to ask you, is the legal, for someone have standing for this, would they not have had to have taken the drug and been harmed by it?
Yeah, that's a really good point. So that came up already in the first, in the original attempt to issue this, to lift the stay, to create a stay and allow the drug to be available, which is, why is this case even being brought by doctors that are neither prescribing the drug, right? They're not even that kind of doctor, not prescribing the drug. They don't have any patients that are prescribing the drug. And what the Fifth Circuit ultimately said was, when it was appealed, they said, well, but these may be the doctors who have to treat women who have complications because they took the drug, right? And that's how they get around them. They said, yeah, these may not be the doctors that would ever prescribe the drug, but if the trial judge in Texas is right, he's saying this drug is dangerous. It's dangerous for women, and it's dangerous for the fetus. And so if anyone gets sick, right, in taking the drug, these might be the kind of doctors that have to treat the person who's got sick. It's not about taking it. It's the aftermath of taking it.
What does this say about our legal system that you can judge shop, find an ultra-conservative judge, he can come up with the learned opinion that he's espoused down in the 5th District in Texas, and that you can really sort of upset the apple cart nationwide with these kinds of rulings?
Yeah, it's exactly what the Justice Department and the FDA is saying. This could lead to chaos, right? Is this going to happen with all drugs now? Right, just not this drug, but all drugs. Even in connection with this drug, they're saying, while this case is being appealed, you have to put a stay on it because people have been depending upon this drug. And also, they're saying that drug manufacturers can't do business this way. Right, they spend millions of dollars testing drugs. And then they finally get to use it. If they get the FDA approval, they get to recoup the money they spent in research and development and start selling it. And they're saying the drug companies are going to go out of business if they can't rely on the approval of the FDA, and that they're always vulnerable that some federal judge somewhere is going to say, you made a mistake. This drug should have never been approved. Now, remember, they're saying, wait a minute, what do you mean this should have never been approved? This drug has been on the market for over 20 years, and tens of millions of women have already taken the drug. They're saying, yeah, but some of them gotten sick. It's not clear. That's what the trial is about, right? That's what the appeal is about. He's saying, you rushed the process, you turned this into an approval process that was different from what it should have been. You treated this as a life-saving drug, and it's not supposed to be a license. It should have gone through different set of tests. It's a separation of powers question, right? Is the judiciary encroaching on the rights of the executive branch to empower federal agencies to make regulatory decisions about issues dealing with their own specific expertise? That's the legal question here. Right? The separation of powers. Can a judge jump in and second guess the expertise of regulatory agencies?
But it would seem to me, Thane, it would have to be rather egregious, because you can't turn on TV or listen to a radio station today and not hear commercials for drugs where the list of possible side effects is pretty horrendous and rather frightening. Here, what are the side effects from this drug? Are they so terrible that someone needed to...
Doesn't matter.
Well, yeah, but it should matter.
You know, such a good point. You know what? I haven't heard that yet. So thank you for that. That was really a good point. Because you're right. It's not as if any of the drugs that get approved don't come with some complications, right? That's your point. You're saying, we already know that. We always know, we see it when we hear our team. You know, this might cause the following. It does treat this thing successfully, but there might be some side effects. You know, yes, they're saying, the judge is saying that there have been instances of severe cramping, you know, stomach complications, damage that can be done to women and the unborn fetus. But you're right, I guess, when you're saying, isn't that true of everything, including aspirin? You know,
absolutely.
Right, isn't that true of anything?
People keep arguing in this case how much safer it is than Tylenol. You know, that's sort of the illustration du jour. Let's talk about something else that's in front of the court this week, this mail carrier from Western Pennsylvania. So he's from our broad region here, and he wants more accommodations for his religious interests, which are to always have Sundays off. The post office continued to evolve, so now we're at loggerheads at the Supreme Court. Did you get a sense from the court where they're leaning, towards the accommodation or towards the requirement that he work on Sundays?
So the accommodation is not the problem in this case, because two things. One, Title VII of the Civil Rights Act already says that your religious observance requires some accommodation at work, that is, as long as it doesn't create a hardship. And this court has always been, for the last, you know, 5 to 10 years, has been, and is going to get more so because it's more conservative justices, sympathetic to First Amendment religious liberty. So you've seen instances, like remember the football coach who wanted to pray after the football game on the 50-yard line. Remember the Catholic Adoption Agency that said, we do not want to help same-sex couples, right? So that cases were last year, and the court sided with religious liberty over other rights. Right, so we know that this is a court that's already sympathetic to the First Amendment of granting of religious liberty. The question here is, what is the undue hardship? Right, up until now, the undue hardship was considered de minimis, meaning that if the employer said that accommodating your religious observance request causes even de minimis effect and the way we do business, we don't have to do it for you, right? So that's what the Postal Service is saying. They're saying, we're trying to stay in business, and we need to compete with Amazon, and we're using Amazon to make extra money by delivering on Sundays. And that's how we're going to stay in business. We can't hire people if they're not going to deliver on Sundays. And if you're not going to deliver on Sundays, we have to ask other people to do double shifts. And what if other people want to pick up other dates that they don't want to deliver on? We need to stay in business, and this is a hardship to us. And so that's what this was about. So then when the case is going to the Supreme Court, all the really the court's deciding is, what does undue hardship look like? Can it be just any inconvenience or de minimis effect on the employer's job? Or does it have to be much more substantial? The argument here is that the Postal Service is making a flimsy argument. They're using this double shift idea that we really need you on all hands on deck for Sunday, and that you, if you want this job, you got to be available on Sunday. And the question is, well, you know, shouldn't they really be able to accommodate this Sunday problem? But you're right, in rural areas, there are not that many carriers. You know, the Postal Service is saying, no, we really can't. We need to know that everyone is available on Sunday. So that's all the court is dealing with. But and right now, it's not about the right to an accommodation. It's how do you forfeit the accommodation if the employer can come up with any reason, minimal reason, why they see this as a hardship. And I suspect that what you're going to see is the Supreme Court is going to say that the hardship must be more significant, right? Not de minimis, but significant, because otherwise the rights under Title VII grant people the right to religious liberty and freedom, and not to be and not to have run the risk of losing their job.
I know we've got to let you go, but the thing that strikes me is the fact that they made this concession for him for a year and then told him that they could no longer do it. So he took a demotion to a lesser post office where working Sunday or delivering wasn't required, and he actually went to the bottom of the seniority list at that new post office, and then they came back and said, well, no, you got to do it here, too. So, I mean, I think the guy has a point from the standpoint that they made the concession, they made the accommodation, and then they try to take it back.
Yeah, you know what they're saying? I agree with you, but what they're saying is, yeah, but you also took the job knowing that we might ask you to do things like this, right? That you know, that you're sort of on notice that, and he's saying, well, look, I'm a federal employee. Federal employees don't work on Sunday, right? I mean, that's one of the reasons I took a job here. It's one of the reasons I'm not working for UPS or Federal Express, right? So that's his argument. He's saying the only reason this is happening is because the post office is going out of business. Right? Otherwise, I could rely on the fact that, like all employees, federal employees, I don't work on Sundays. So just because you can't stay in business shouldn't affect my rights to respect my religion. And so that's what, you know, that's the tricky part here, that if the post office is essentially coming into court and saying, what else do you want us to do? Go out of business just to accommodate this guy's right desire to take the Sabbath off?
Thank you so much for your analysis. Really, really much appreciated. ThaneRosenbaum.com.
Love having you on. Thanks so much.
For all your good information and outreach. Thank you, sir.
Take care, Thane.
Thank you.
Much appreciated.
Anytime, you both. Thank you.
Thane Rosenbaum, author and educator and attorney. And it doesn't say anywhere on his website that he's conservative. I thought I had read that, but I'm mistaken. It must have been another description.
So. See, you can be mistaken.
Only when I'm on the air. All right, 570-743-9565. Call us now if you'd like to comment on anything you've heard so far. We're going to glance through some brief news headlines right after the break, but we'd love our next caller. We have PPL on the hot seat because they don't send out paper bills in a timely fashion anymore, nor can you call them and find out why. So we got just one text related to that. Another one says, Joe's all washed up if he thinks the mission statement at fishandwildlife.gov says their first...
Said they can't find it. I just gave you the address.
Oh, brother. Okay. To be continued. We'll be
anyway,
right back.
Anyway, that wasn't my point. My point was, why weren't they hiring these people all along?
But you said it's their mission statement. It's nowhere near their mission statement.
No, you said it was their mission statement.
Right, and you said yes.
Well, I'm sorry. I was wrong. It's not their mission statement. It's their goal.
I'm sorry. Say that again.
It's their goal.
No, the first part of your
sentence.
It's
their goal.
No, well,
let's take the break.
Were you right or wrong?
I was right.
Oh, boy.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Welcome back. I will hold headlines for a moment while Chris is on the line. He's been so patient and diligent and resilient.
You're buttering him up,
he's
too.
He's a truth teller. I'm buttering up everybody. I want everybody to feel good about calling us. Chris, you're on the mark.
Yeah, well, first of all, the paragraph that Joe had from Fish and Wildlife, that was exactly where I thought it should be. It's in the fourth paragraph under careers and internships.
Right,
for
which
people
is about
who are looking for employment.
It's about five clicks into their website, not the first thing people see.
It's from the summer edition of the 20 of the Fish and Wildlife News.
Right,
but that is my point, Chris. My point,
the fourth paragraph.
My point was, if they were hiring, why weren't they hiring
internships?
Chris,
I think you deserve to tell us. Hold it. You deserve to tell us what news agency you got this from.
Let me tell you what my point was before I tell you that. My point was, if their goal is to hire all these people, how does that equate to what their mission is? How is that going to enhance what they do in support of fish and wildlife? That was my point. That's where I was trying to go with it. But we got sidetracked over people not being able to find what I was talking about.
No, you were making it like it was their first thing you saw when you opened their website, because that's how the news agency that you got it from presented it, I'm pretty sure.
Yep.
So tell us what news agency you got it from so
it's
we know
Fox.
Who not to trust.
MSNBC.
Oh, yeah, okay. And Chris, that's the fourth paragraph. What's
so
the
tell us, Joe. Tell us, please.
It was a story on Fox News this morning.
Thank you. You're free to go.
Here we go again.
Okay.
The Chris, one that you said was totally disreputable yesterday.
I didn't say they were disreputable. Never said that at all.
Didn't double did.
Yes, you did.
On this topic.
On that topic of what they did with respect to the election, yes, I think
yes,
they were.
Yes, you did. Yes.
Chris, what's the first paragraph? If that's the fourth one, what's the first one that...
On careers and internships or in the whole...
No,
whole
careers
thing.
And internships.
If your passion is about science, nature, plants, wildlife, water, and air quality, and education, a career with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service must be just what you're looking
there
for.
There you go. Nothing at all to do with diversity.
A career with us also might maybe blah, blah, blah.
Then
there
there's,
it goes on. It's
then there's and grassroots employee groups benefit conservation through inclusion. There's that story, too. Grassroots employee groups benefit conservation through inclusion. My point is, how does inclusion, how does diversity, how does equity help their mission? If it was so important to hire, If it was so important to hire these people who had these capabilities, why weren't they doing it all along?
Well, because diversity was not a particular virtue, but maybe they found out that over the years, if you just have one racial group in your hirees, your decisions are skewed in a certain way.
But the federal government has banned racial hiring practices for years. Why weren't they hiring all these diverse people?
All this is saying is if you're black, queer, whatever, you're welcome to apply for the job.
And doesn't saying we are an equal opportunity employer imply the same thing?
Well, they want to be 100% clear what diversity means to them.
So, in other words, how would you...
Let me just add this,
Chris.
They can't hear you.
Hold on a second. I would like to add one thing. If you are an equal opportunity employer, that would imply that everybody who applies for the job would be welcome. But when I was running this place, and I don't know if maybe it's not true anymore, but you couldn't ask someone if they were married. There were a whole list of things you couldn't inquire about. Now we're supposed to find out. You couldn't ask somebody on the phone if you were interviewing them whether they were black or white. You certainly couldn't say to them, are you queer or are you at LGBTQ? So how are you going to find these people? If you can't ask
what difference does it make?
I'm just saying. You're right. What difference does it make?
There's no difference there, Joe.
What difference does it make? In other words, if the person was qualified and they were an applicant, do you think there is anything?
That means if you come in and you're dressed in clothes that might appear gay to somebody, or if you come in and are black, you are still just as likely to get hired. And perhaps even more so.
Well, describe
if you
want
to jump on that, you can.
Describe gay clothing to me so I understand what I'm looking for.
Well-groomed, your clothes
I see a lot.
Well, if you don't know what it is, tune into a few gay, look how gay people dress and see if there's some groups of them that are slightly different than the norm.
I know quite a few gay people and they dress normally. I couldn't tell what they look like from their clothing.
Yes.
Right. Then that's not a gay outfit they have on then.
It's that old Christmas carol, Don, We Now
Ever
Are Gay Apparel.
Ever heard of gaydar?
Yeah.
No.
Well, I think Joe doesn't have any gaydar.
But you want to talk about a story, how about that Oklahoma County where the governor is asking them to resign?
We talked about that yesterday a little bit, but it didn't catch on. You're right. That's terrible. They're talking about lynching people. And what bothers me is they're now talking about suing that newspaper publisher for recording it. I think he did a public.
I knew that was coming.
He did a public service in recording.
I would also point out that you people who people here who call up who can't find discrimination against blacks anywhere in the world, it kind of disproves their theory. And whether it's and the fact that it's Republican, high Republican area, kind of takes the heat off their theory that it was all Democrats who were behind discrimination.
All right, we got you, Chris. Thank you so much, sir.
Well, it wasn't Republicans who opposed the civil rights bills back in the 60s. It was the Democrats.
No, it wasn't Republicans from the Northeast liberals that were doing it either.
All right, we got you, Chris. Thank you, sir.
Have a good one, Chris.
Yeah, thank you very much. I always appreciate it. All right, hold on, Eric. I got to do the headlines. Let's see. Well, first of all, we want to tell people that the Sunbury Motor Company is our sponsor, sunburymotors.com. Telephone line now open, 570-743-9565. That's 570-743-WKOK. You can email us at onthemark@WKOK.com, and you can text us at 70236. Include the keyword OTM. A new ordinance was passed unanimously during Tuesday's Lewis Borough Council meeting that will prohibit fireworks setting off most of the year. Currently, 365, 24/7, kids and I guess probably some adults enjoy setting off fireworks in Lewisburg. That'll be restricted to the 4th of July and New Year's Day now. Valley U.S. Congressman Dan Muser says he's not yet decided who he endorses for president, Governor Ron DeSantis or former President Donald Trump. Of course, he used to be a strong supporter of President Donald Trump, but Muser, like many others, have soured on the former president as he runs for office once again. He was at a function in Washington, D.C. Muser was at a function in Washington, D.C. recently with GOP leaders, and Governor DeSantis spoke to the group in an informal policy discussion. Afterward, Muser told CBS he'd not yet decided who he'll support for governor. President, thank you. A man who Joe McGranahan has voted for and endorsed and promoted as a congressman has died. Former U.S. Congressman Bud Schuster, who cared more deeply about transportation than even Joe, an influential Republican lawmaker, died at the age of 91. He died at his farm Wednesday in Everett, PA, surrounded by his family, including his son Bill Schuster, who went on to succeed his father in Congress for a short time. Schuster
for
died.
For quite a while. He became chairman of the Transportation Committee, too.
15 years, I think, something like that.
Yeah.
Schuster died 2 weeks after fracturing his hip, which led to some complications. Schuster was called the King of Asphalt because of all his transportation funding.
If he had lived and stayed in Congress, we'd have had the bypass years ago.
Oh, okay. Let's see. Ran into some ethic pickles. If you read far enough into the AP version, you find out that something went wrong somewhere. All right. AP is reporting that Pennsylvania Republican Majority County, or the Pennsylvania Republican Majority County government, were two commissioners secretly allowed a third party to copy voting machine data last year to help former President Donald Trump overturn the election, received contempt citations Wednesday from the state high court. Now, let me tear that apart a little bit. The state Supreme Court is rebuking Franklin County,
Fulton County
Republicans because they cheated during the election to help Donald Trump overturn
the
election.
After the election. They allowed access to the voting machines.
Right. The illegal access.
Right.
So once again, 99% of the cheating or lying that took place in the election was Trumpian people, not people supporting Biden. That's the obvious conclusion there.
That's your obvious conclusion.
Well, everybody is. And finally, after we talked about people randomly shooting at people in their driveway, Elgin, Texas, was where a man shot and wounded two cheerleaders in a supermarket parking lot after one of them mistakenly got into his car thinking it was her. her car. The shooting east of Austin happened Tuesday in a parking lot that serves as a carpool pickup spot for members of the Woodlands Elite Cheer Company team. Heather Roth, one of the four team members transferring rides in the lot after the practice, said she got out of her friend's car and into her car she thought was hers, but there was a stranger in the passenger seat. So she exited the vehicle and got in the correct car when the man in the wrong vehicle approached her and shot her. So that makes perfect sense. Yeah, I think if you feel threatened and this a girl in a cheerleading outfit and she accidentally gets in your car and then gets out and goes to her vehicle, I think your only solution then in Texas, of course, is to open fire.
Well, now, just being fair for a second, okay. And I agree it's ridiculous, but did she say something to him like, oh, my gosh, I'm sorry. I thought this was my car. It looks just like yours. I'm sorry. Forgive me.
And then he shot her? Okay, what are the right words that justify being shot in
None,
your view?
But I'm just saying if she spoke to him, it makes it worse. She said to him, I'm sorry, and then he got out of the car and shot her.
Yeah,
but even if he didn't, you're right, it's a terrible crime. But
yeah, this is a ridiculous case. So he fled the scene, which was
obviously shows a guilty conscience.
Wise to do so, but then she is still alive, fortunately, and now they will compete for her at some sort of a big competition. And finally, Joe, your favorite day of the year is 420 Day, celebrated why?
With marijuana?
Yes, your favorite drug. Are you happy now?
No, I'm not happy.
You want pot to be legal,
47% that believe that. Now, it used to be 50-50. Mm-hmm. Now it's 52 or 53-47. 47% believe it should not be made legal.
Oh, okay.
I'm in the 47%.
Right. Okay. You're in the minority.
I am
as
now.
As always. What's it like to be part of a minority?
You tell me. You're there all the time.
Hold on, Lance. Eric, you get 1 minute, and then I got to hit the break.
So, Joe, are you going to admit that you jumped the gun on this story and that, as I said on the air and you contradicted me, that there was not anything when you got onto the Fish and Wildlife Service that you had to go dig for it?
He already apologized.
I didn't dig for it. I Googled U.S. Fish and Wildlife Diversity. And that's what came up.
Okay. But you came on that this was going to, as soon as you went on that website, this was going to be the number one
as
thing.
As soon as I went on the page, that was the first thing I saw.
He apologized.
I showed it to Mark.
So you think that most people going to Fish and Wildlife are going to hit diversity.
So
now, you followed up on, what you did was you followed up on this.
But you're missing the whole point.
Hold on,
story,
Joe.
And you were wrong.
You're missing the whole point. My point
was...
No,
you're missing the whole point. You're broadcasting something that was absolutely not true. You made it sound to the average listener that the Fish and Wildlife Service was now projecting this out as their main mission. That's what you insinuated.
No, he
and
said
when
it.
I went on
he
that
didn't
site
insinuate
and
it.
Called you on it,
he said
you
it.
Said that I was wrong.
Yeah, boy.
That's what they said.
And
we
Mark
must,
even confirmed what I said, and you still defended yourself.
We must recruit.
I know you don't want to hear the truth, but that's all right.
You just keep on talking, and we'll ignore everybody else. Their site says, we must recruit, welcome, and empower bright, driven professionals from diverse backgrounds who can help us find effective solutions and connect with a rapidly changing America. My point was, why weren't they hiring these people all along?
Right.
No, your point was no, when I first my, called
now, you
was
know
that
my
when
point.
You got on that Fish and Wildlife I Service, for,
oh,
that
Joe,
was
hold
first
on.
Came up, like it was their main focus. You
know,
talked about main focus.
You know my
and
point better than I do. Boy, you're a real mind reader. Wow, I'm impressed.
We just
thank
know
you.
It.
No,
Joe,
I accept you as an authority on the phone because I believe in this program. But when you do something like that and throw it out there and the people don't have the ability or the time to go check, they're going to accept what you said is absolutely true. And in this case, it was not.
Okay, well, so it's
Mark
not.
Thank
out,
you, Eric.
You had to go into that part,
Eric.
And then four paragraphs down to find that phrase, which you were insinuating
on,
was their new mantra.
Don't say anything,
and
Joe.
And you were wrong.
Stand down, Joe. Thank you so much, Eric. Thank
your
you.
Your time is up.
I'm just pointing something out that, you know, just because Joe.
We got you. Okay.
Whew. Eric
you wanted
loves
to say
plow
something?
The same field over
well,
and
you know,
over and
well,
over
you were,
again.
This is it's a rare opportunity that we find you totally and completely, blatantly wrong. So we're just basking. That's all.
All right.
Excuse us.
it is there. In other words, the salient point
is, if you search
is,
for a couple of days,
there.
You can find it, right?
And my point, and I still insist my point was, why weren't they doing this to begin with?
Why did they hire Republicans up to then? White Republicans.
You're saying they hired old farts. Those were your words.
Old white Republican farts.
So you're calling,
farts.
I mean, Eric's not outraged that you're calling the employees of the Fish and Wildlife Commission old farts.
Old white Republican
old
farts.
Old white Republican farts.
Not just any kind of fart. All right. 570, folks. We are enjoying a raucous open phones day. We've got about three topics going, and we'll continue those topics when we return. You want to weigh in on PPL and their inability to bill accordingly and soundly anymore. The whole company's falling apart as near as I can tell. Even Tracy Witter, the spokesperson, won't talk to us, so that's bad. 570-743-9565. That's 570-743-WKOK. You can email us at onthemark@WKOK.com, and you can text us at 70236. Joe's already apologized for misrepresenting the mission statement of the Fish and Wildlife Service, but he does find after 20 clicks that you can get to...
I didn't find it on one click.
Right. There, well,
depending
yeah,
on what you
search
Google.
For the right words.
Right.
Well, that's true. It's one click if you type
Google
in the 20 words that describe
it. And add the word diversity to Fish and Wildlife Commission and diversity.
Okay.
That's what you get.
All right. So PPL, and of course we talked to Thane Rosenbaum about the abortion pill and the Pittsburgh mail carrier. So those have come up. Call us now, 570-743-9565. All right, moving on. Lance has been waiting parting there forever. So let me put Lance on the radio. There you go, Lance. You're on the mark.
I've just been listening to you guys on my speakerphone, that's all.
Okay.
But, anyway, about the Sunday work, I think what the fellow ran into was a middle manager that was a control freak. I've seen that happen. I mean, I worked for a Fortune 500 company for about 35 years. We had about at least 25 supervisors, two of which were like that. The case in point is it's Christmas is coming up. They have special projects going. They're going to have to force some people to work on Christmas Day. Okay, one fellow is 25 years old, has three kids. As I remember, their ages were 5, 3, and 1. He would have liked to have been home. Okay, they're going to force him to do this, and he wasn't too happy. So I said, well, look, I'll go and I'll work for you, even though I was working the second shift. It would go through that way and, me being an altruistic person and, a week's pay in a day kind of, did it too.
Yeah.
But, okay, so a week goes in and I try to talk this guy into letting me work. And up and down would not do it, That's what he was, a super-duper control freak.
Mm.
In the long run, I did work for him. But that week wasn't too pleasant for that particular supervisor, I can tell you that. So, and probably the guy has it in for Christians, too. I mean, that certainly has something to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, okay, another thing here is, here I am, septuagenarian, Trumpster politics with no TV and no computer, but I have my bills taken out of my checking account electronically. I haven't written a check, and I can't tell you how long. Now, this person that is complaining about this seems to be quite sophisticated otherwise. Why can't he do that?
Well, the issue is you're used to getting a paper bill. I don't think he's concerned about whether he is or isn't writing checks or paying online or not. But I think the pickle is that you love to look at the paper checks, see what your consumption is, compare it to last year, see how much more electricity costs this year than last year, probably, 2 cents or so per kilowatt hour. And that's the main reason. I don't think he's worried about the sophistication. I think he's worried about not getting a piece of paper, and then secondly, calling the company and say, why aren't I getting a piece of paper, and have them say, we have no idea. I think that might be it. But we can't have Eric on the line anymore, so we'll never know until tomorrow.
Okay, all right, now we talk about the Fish and Wildlife Service. Now, of course, one of their politically correct things, of course, is the climate change.
Right, that's a big part of their business,
mm-hmm.
Sure.
With all the bovine emissions, okay? Well, they're spending $25 million to propagate bovines. Huh?
Low emission buffaloes. Bovines?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Low emission
absolutely.
Ones. I got you. Okay. Well, so there you have it. We got to have a methane capturing system on the poor girls.
Yeah.
That'll be next. Yeah. Yeah. Walking around with a little cart, a little putt-putt motor on it.
I got visions, all kinds of weird.
Yeah, you
stuff
okay, buddy?
There.
Yeah. You got an imagination there, Lance. All right, we got to hit the road. We got other callers. Anything else, sir?
Oh, okay. Well, just one thing there. When it says about equal opportunity employer, anymore it means, hey, you know, we hire a white guy once in a while too.
Yeah, if you're white, you can apply, but might not work out. So, all right, we got you, Lance. Thank you, sir.
Yes.
Thanks
care.
For being you too. We appreciate that. All right, quick break and two callers. That's going to help us wrap up the show when we come back.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. While Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
All right, let's see, who's waited the most? I think Dan has waited the longest, and time-wise, about 2.5 minutes each.
Hey, good morning. I'll make it very short, but, you know, I'm not picking on Eric. I really like his calls, but he represents what I've found. If you try to talk to a progressive liberal, all they'll do is talk over top of you and get very disturbed. I always try to bring up the point why I support Trump and what he's done and what he made happen here in the U.S. to make our country great. But right away, as soon as you bring up the word what Trump done, they fly off the handle and get irate and talk over top of you. I end up not getting a word in edgewise. Because they're so irate, they can't say, hey, Trump did something good for America. Mm-hmm. They can't hear it. They will not hear it. Therefore, who's causing a division, as we talk about on this program often? Who's causing it?
Republicans.
If you cannot listen to me, there's something wrong with you.
Well, I think it's more of a human condition than a Republican condition, but I guess you're saying a Democratic condition. I think it's humans that don't hear each other. We're so far in this partisan divide. I said this week that we also have ear filters that prevent us from hearing things accurately. We're so partisanly separated.
Yeah, I try to be very reasonable with. I have very close acquaintances that are what I call progressive left. They claim they're not far left to center, but that's in the eyes of the beholder. But you cannot talk with them. They'll talk over top. Trump's such a disgrace that they cannot even be reasonable with you. They cannot see one thing good that President Trump done.
All right,
that's
we got
how
you, sir.
Far out it is, and it's a sad condition. And I don't blame that on Trumpers. I blame that on the progressive that cannot hear you. They will not hear you.
I have to talk over you.
He's only got 2 minutes.
Right. Well, we have to go. We got another caller.
Yep, you guys have a great one, and take care.
He's got 2 minutes.
Bye.
He's got 2.5 minutes. Thank you, Dan. Thank you so much.
What I was going to say, I was going to talk to Dan, the thing that irritates me is when someone asks you a question and then won't let you answer it.
All right, whatever. Stan, you're on the mark.
Whatever, Mark? Okay. Anyway.
You can tell he's glad to hear from you, Stan.
All right, time's almost up, Stan. Hurry
All right, maybe Fish and Wildlife should worry about why all the beaches, or the whales and dolphins are beaching themselves around the areas where they have all these wind farms out in the ocean.
Or
maybe
bees.
They should be worried about that instead of their, what is it, DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion, because
right.
equity is worthless. It's a communist statement. Nobody can be, not everybody can be equal, okay, but they can have the equality to try. Okay, so maybe that's what it is, you know. And I know Eric doesn't like Fox, so that's why he's all over you, Joe, about it. But, you know, when they have that in there, they shouldn't be worrying about that. They should be worrying about wildlife, fish and wildlife.
And bees.
That was Fox's point on the story. My point was they should have been hiring people who were capable of handling their mission all along. And if to the extent that they're saying that they aren't doing that because they haven't hired people who are diverse, that's a serious problem, isn't it?
I don't care what color a person is or what their orientation is or what gender they might think they are, as long as they can do the job and do it well. But obviously, we don't have that. We're just worried about those other surf, superficial things, is what it seems to be.
All right.
So, and one other thing, okay. Now, everybody is all over Fox about, you know, what they did to Dominion, blah, 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 and they settled this lawsuit and all that. Okay, whatever. I heard a montage yesterday on another program, long montage, of all these elected Democrat officials decrying the voting machine, saying how they're insecure and they, you know, don't necessarily always work the way they should be and all that. And that was after the 2016. Kamala Harris, Hillary Clinton were two prime ones. They were just going off about how, you know, there's three companies providing, you know, the voting equipment and one large one, and they're all having problems. They can't guarantee, you know, that they're secure and all this. But I don't recall any of those being sued by Dominion.
Well, and one of our listeners pointed that out yesterday. He says, you know, you can sort of discard the Fox Dominion issue. That doesn't change the fact that the election had a lot of anomalies in 16 and 20. And, you know, the people's faith in the election is still at the bottom of the pits. It doesn't have anything to do with Dominion.
Right, and but that's not my point. My point is they jump all over Fox because they had people on their shows that had a differing opinion of what went on than a accepted position of the Democrats. So right away, they're demonized. But the Democrats are doing the exact same thing in 2016 and after.
Right. Well, when you catch Fox in a lie, it's a wonderful moment of celebration.
Oh,
around
okay,
the world.
But oh, I understand because you catch them, it's so rare. But the MSNBC and the CNNs and stuff of the world,
you expect
they're so constant, it's just normal.
Right,
is that what we're saying?
You expect them to lie, so.
Okay.
Oh, brother. All right, we got you, Stan. Thank you, sir.
All right, have a good one.
Take care, Stan.
Read all that stuff fast in front
of you. WRR says, Mark, I'm the guy that emailed you regarding PPL. Finally, someone else called regarding this problem. Of course, PPL won't respond to your request. They screwed up big time.
All right.
They're under investigation by the PUC. You should have brought this topic up in your show when I sent you my original poor journalism on your part.
Oh, brother. So you think insulting me is going to help me?
Huh? I didn't insult you.
No, it's WRR. That's fine. I've been hounding these people on his behalf with his poor journalism. Nice job, buddy. All right, and one of our listeners says Joe has his fog machine set to maxed out.
No, maxed hour.
Next, right. This is WKOK Sunbury.